4 o'clock. It is Thursday. That means it's time for Thesis Thursday. And joining me is a UBURP student, Ali Shahab. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining us today. Tell me a little bit about what you do at the university.
So I'm a physiology major at University of Arizona. So I mostly study like human and human sciences. And I also do research with UBURP, as you mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, that's mostly it.
Well, where are you from, Ali?
So I'm originally from Iraq. I came in 2009 as a refugee into the United States. And then I started my first class at University of Arizona in 2010.
And you completed school in Iraq first?
Yeah, so I spent a couple years studying medicine in Iraq. And then, so medicine in Iraq is 6 years. So I finished a couple of years in Iraq. And then I went to Syria and finished 2 more years before I came to the States as a refugee.
Excellent. So you're a senior at the U of A. And again, you're working with cardiovascular disease and type 2 diabetes. Tell me a little bit about that.
Correct. So our lab with Dr. Betsy Dakin, we study diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and we focus on the cardiovascular complication that happen with type 2 diabetes. Unfortunately, like one of the major complications associated with type 2 diabetes is cardiovascular disease.
Okay.
Mostly like there is some mechanism involved, the microvascular, which is the small arteries.
Uh-huh.
And they seem to be like when you have high sugar, which is what we call hyperglycemia, there is injury to these microvasculars. And then from there, once you get this injury in these microvasculars, you start moving into more like complicated heart disease. You might end up with myocardial infarction, which is basically damaging of the muscle of the heart itself.
So there's different kinds of cardiovascular disease. Kind of explain that. So, I mean, when the valves are getting damaged, what's happening there exactly?
So damaging of the valve is mostly involved. Like there are different ways that you could damage a valve. I think most commonly is that you get sometimes, unfortunately, you get infection. Let's say you got like a sore throat with the bacteria known as Streptococcus.
Uh-huh.
And then what happens is that your immune system mismatch the bacteria with another self, and that's how you damage your valve. Also, you get bacterial infection of the valve, and that's what's known as endocarditis. But in our case, with diabetes, you are damaging the microvasculature. So there is you go from large arteries, and there is something called arterioles, which is the smallest of them. What happens is that these blood vessels are sensitive to the condition of having so much blood glucose.
Mm-hmm.
And these will damage these small blood vessels. And once you damage them, you are starting a cascade of disease process.
Sure.
That might end up to disease like myocardial infarction or acute coronary syndrome and all other disease. So probably not the valve itself, but I think most of the patient with type 2 diabetes are suffering from like these kind of coronary disease and damaging to the muscle and ischemia of the muscle of the heart.
Is type 2 diabetes, is it genetic?
There is a genetic component, so there is a genetic susceptibility. Mm-hmm. There is environmental component. And type 2 diabetes is really one of the major problems here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
The issue is with obesity, especially with young people. So what happens is that, unfortunately, we are moving more and toward type 2 diabetes, and then we are moving toward cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, cardiovascular disease is the number one major killer in the United States, not cancer or anything. And yeah, it's type 2 diabetes is happening because of, and there is a genetic, there is environmental, but it's mostly like due to like diet.
Yeah. I mean, I was born in the 60s, and I just remember my mom feeding me, and she didn't know, but she was feeding me like sugary cereals.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a doctor.
Yeah.
And we were, but you know, with the sweetest, sugariest sugar, that was how you started your day, was basically with a bowl of sugar.
Yeah.
You know, and then sodas or things like that. I was very fortunate that I never got into drinking soda. But it is kind of interesting how it's sort of our culture, and it was affordable. That was the food also that was affordable. For us was the high sugars.
Yeah, sometimes I go with discussion with my mentor. It's like seems to be, unfortunately, it's like so people like that who are not very fortunate enough cannot afford healthy diet. And my mentor, Dr. Betsy Dakin, see patients who have type 2 diabetes and those who like on food stamp.
Mm-hmm.
She noticed that the majority of those people who have the highest blood glucose, it's at the end of their like of the month where there is no longer they have the like the finance to buy healthy food.
Sure.
So they end up spending it mostly like on sugary drinks or sugary food.
Yeah.
So it's also, it has a socioeconomic issues also.
Absolutely. So what do you do exactly in the lab?
So our lab, so as we go back, so Dr. Dakin is a nurse practitioner. She sees people with type 2 diabetes. There is a medication known as Exendate.
Mm-hmm.
It used to treat type 2 diabetes. It seems to be recently we found out, like different research found that Exendate have a cardiovascular protective function. So what happened is that we really want not to only to treat type 2 diabetes, but also we want to give them medication that also help them at least not develop the cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, let's call them the old generation type 2 diabetes medication.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them even not, like let's call them not cardiovascular friendly.
Uh-huh.
So with Exendinate or GLP-1 agonist, we found out that it could play a role in cardiovascular protection.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's big work. So what do you want to do after you graduate?
So I'm applying to med school after this, like I'm in the process.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely would like to finish med school, but I also, what really inspired me is how my mentor is practicing. So she's practicing medicine as a clinician and see patient, but also doing research. And I found that these two things complement themselves in a very beautiful way because when you are a physician, you sometimes see yourself like not very empowered in a sense that you're only limited by the medication you have.
Uh-huh.
And then you sometimes get frustrated. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't have this treatment, or I wish I could have give them something. So what you could do is that you go back to the lab and find cures. Same thing in the lab. Sometimes, I mean, one thing is that in the lab, you are like the unknown soldier because you fight a war that nobody see.
Right.
And most of our innovation is coming from research and lab.
Yeah.
And people probably usually recognize the physicians mostly, but people in the lab will find cure.
Sure.
So you could complement.
And do both.
And this is really amazing. This is what inspired me to do both.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much for coming in. Tell us about the music that you brought up to us today.
So the first one is Imagine. Mm-hmm. It's by John Lennon.
Mm-hmm.
And I really came to this music in 2006. It was during the Iraq Civil War. And I was hoping, like, what happened if we could just live in peace and there is no religious issue, because the Iraq Civil War was mostly like religious, unfortunately. So I would like to dedicate this song to the Iraqi people. Hopefully we could find peace one day.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Here's John Lennon and Imagine. Thanks for coming in, Ali.
Thanks. Below us.
And the world.